Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of love, prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We thank you for joining us here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Would you join us now as we have devotion? I'd like to have Mr. Mark Bryan sing a song, and then to have the scripture read by Dr. James Nooks. If you would read the Proverbs, the second chapter, the first through the 22nd verses. And then if Mr. Jefferson, if you would render a prayer.
Good evening. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us for Your Place Christian Church, where Jesus is exalted and the world is explained. We'll start off with song, scripture, and prayer. Our song for today will be Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion till now. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I ask, all of him has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and star, as I may see to live. All I need is thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee.
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture is taken from Proverbs 2. Verses 1 through 22, New Living Translation. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch you over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visited her is doomed, see.
You still there, Dr.
Eric, if you'd offer prayer. We're waiting on you to offer prayer.
Gracious Father, we take time out to come before your throne this evening, Father. We come being prepared to study your word, asking that you would slow us down, clear our minds. Let us breathe deeply, Father, that we may breathe in your word, your guidance, your wisdom, your understanding, your insight. Father, for we are studying wisdom because, Father, simply we need it. We need it as individuals. We need it as families. We need it as communities. We need it as nations. We need it as a world, Father. When we look around and see all the things that are going on, it's apparent, Father, that we lack wisdom. We lack understanding. We lack insight and discernment. So, Father, guide and direct us through this study. May it be all about you. May you increase, may I decrease. Well, Father, I know that I am not worthy to teach your word, but oh, for an hour, so, Father, may your hand guide and direct all that we study and all that we say and do, Father. For with that, Father, we will bring you praise, honor, and glory. But most assuredly, Father, we will be concerned about our fellow brothers and sisters. Well, that seems to be lacking in this world. For we are all caught up in what we are and what we're doing, but we just don't seem to care about anyone else, Father. So have your hand. Have your way. May your will be done. And we praise, honor, and glorify you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just are so grateful for this week as we get to work again on the topic of gaining wisdom. We're so excited to have our instructor tonight, Reverend Minister Eric Jefferson, teaching on the topic of gaining wisdom. The first week we met, which was last week on the 6th, we talked about our foundational text of Proverbs, and tonight we are looking at, I may have even used the wrong scripture. I'm sorry about
that. The benefit of wisdom. We're looking at the benefit of
wisdom. Yeah. We used acquiring wisdom on the 6th, and that was Proverbs 1:8-33. And then tonight we're dealing with the benefit of wisdom, which is the Proverbs passage that was read tonight. And so without further ado, I think let me do a couple of things before I pass it to you, Brother Eric. First of all, I just want to do a little bit of etiquette for the studio, and that those of you, as you're on the line, if you would please put your phones on mute if you're not talking, and make sure that you're not speaking from a speakerphone. If your speakerphone is on, it makes feedback in the studio. So if you find that we keep saying something and you don't hear anything or there's a long lull, it could be because your phone is on mute. So make sure you take it off of mute before you speak, and know that we are excited about any exchange that you share with us, as we are here willing to be stretched. So we're excited to have the conversation tonight, and anybody who's interested and would like to call in tonight, please feel free. We're at 646-478-4932. 646-478-4932. All right, Mr. Jefferson, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Can we get a roll call so I at least know who we've got thus far? I know we'll have some joining us a little later.
Britt here.
This is James.
Mark?
He dropped. So we have Britt, James, and I think Lester and myself. For now.
All right. Well, good evening, folks, and I'm glad to be with you this evening. As I said last week, I make a habit of reading daily five chapters of Psalms and one chapter of Proverbs every morning. You can do that and go through those two books in a month. But this one on wisdom has been sticking with me for a couple of months now. And, you know, it used to be a time that you just thought wisdom was, oh, well, intuition, mother's wit, as I used to hear it called, common sense, a number of things. But as I look around the world today and see all the unsettling things, it appears to me that, you know, we lack wisdom. And how do we get that, and where do we find that? And so last week we talked about acquiring wisdom, and we looked at starting, of course, fear of the Lord. According to Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline. And we use that as a foundational text. And then we looked at acquiring wisdom from our parents, listening to them first, listening to them after, getting to know God. And so this week, I want to look at the benefit of wisdom, as Dr. Susie has said. And so went through the scripture and realized that the wisdom is used 222 times in the King James Version and 215 in the New International Version. And contrary to the word foolishly, combined 138 times. And so we know that we can be foolish. We know that we can do foolish things and carry on. But God places a premium on wisdom. And so the benefit of wisdom tonight, and if someone could read, as we go through this again, verses 1 through 11. 1 through 11 from Proverbs 2. Anybody have that? No, I can read it. New Living Translation. My child, listen to me and treasure my instruction. Turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of justice, protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. And you will know how to find the right course of action every time. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. What jumps out to you at that, Brett? What jumps out at those 11 scriptures?
Well, basically, to me, it's just letting me know that in order for us to attain wisdom, in my opinion, wisdom is the Word of God. And that we have to keep that in mind in order for us to be saved.
Okay. Dr. Nooks?
what jumps out at me is that if we seek wisdom, that God will provide it, and that we should treasure it like we would silver or gold, and it should be something that we want to have. And I don't see that kind of seeking of wisdom much in our culture. We seek.
You see the seeking of silver and gold, though, don't we?
And we seek what is quick and what is convenient and what is easy.
Amen.
I think to find wisdom and understanding, we really have to dig, and we have to be willing to put aside our own understanding and to seek God's understanding. And this is difficult. It's something that we really need to work at. And I think many of us just don't have that desire to work at it and really find it. And I see the decisions that are made across our country and across the world, and they don't appear to be very wise decisions in many cases. And we go to war, we fight, we kill our own people. We think we understand and elevate our own position above everybody else's position and don't seek wisdom and understanding. So much confusion and silliness goes on that runs our country, our government, our churches, our lives. This desire or seeking of wisdom, that which is to be sought after, that which is precious, I don't see much of that, but I see the importance of it and how it could change our lives.
Amen. This is Eric, and what I really see in those is that in searching and seeking wisdom, it talks about a life that is complete. It talks about a life that's complete. It talks about a life that has reverence for the Lord and knowledge of God. It talks about joy being instilled in you. It talks about being with integrity. It talks about finding the right course of action every time. It talks about wisdom being in your heart and knowledge filling, as again, with joy. And wise planning watches over you. Understanding keeps you safe. I mean, those are things that we all, if we're, you know, if you ask people, they would say, well, you know, well, yeah, I want to be safe. I don't want to have any issues. I want to have a good life. And what this tells me as I read that is that if you're searching for them as you would lost money, hidden treasure, here are all the things that it can bring to you. And to me, that is a complete life of one that you don't have stress. You don't have concerns and issues and worried about stuff that the average person worries about, because you have been searching for wisdom. It has filled your heart. The integrity that you walk in, the well-planning helps you in every part of your life. It watches over you. But yet we as believers in Christ, we are quick to tell you, you know, how you doing? Oh, man, it's bad. You know, it's this, it's that. I'm having this problem. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this is happening. But yet this scripture, these 11 verses in Proverbs 2 speaks to me about having a complete life. And any brother or sister ought to know that you have no complete life if you have not intertwined your life with Jesus. Would that be a fair assessment?
That would be a
everybody,
fair
degree. Everybody can't be on mute. What'd you say, Dr.
That would be a fair assessment. That would be a fair assessment for me. I think it's really important to understand that if God is out of the picture, it's just not going to be wise and it's not going to be profitable.
Well, if God is out, you got chaos and trouble. You got chaos and trouble. But as Dr. Nook said, you know, we don't see a culture or churches teaching us to seek and find wisdom. We, you know, I mean, they give sermons that are good to tickle the ear, and they have performances and productions and all of that. But at the end of, you know, most days when people leave the church, and I can't say all because I haven't been all, but most, you feel just as empty as you did when you came in. And what these 11 scriptures is saying is that if you are seeking wisdom, turn your ear to wisdom, concentrate on understanding, cry out for insight and understanding, search for them as you would for lost money, hidden treasure. Now, let somebody lose some money. $10 we'll turn the house upside down. We'll go to and fro. We'll backtrack every place we went, every place we thought. We'll go ask, did you see? I left it, you know. But wisdom, the thing that can help protect you and give you complete life, we don't pursue that. And I personally think that comes from pursuing God. That comes from those relationships with God. That comes from that prayer time. That comes from that devotional time. That comes from reading that word. That comes from small group conversations with people about the Lord and what's going on. Because then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and we know that that word fear means reverence. And you will gain knowledge about God.
Brother Teacher, I guess the question needs to be asked, why is it that we don't seek wisdom? And maybe that's something that,
that
everyone can maybe give a contribution into, is that people do not seek wisdom and understanding.
That is the question, Dr. Nooks. That is the for real question. Anybody wanna add a little bit to that?
This is correct.
An answer to that?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Carver here. One of the reasons I believe people don't seek wisdom is because wisdom requires work. It's more than just knowing. See, I mean, knowledge, you can seek knowledge all day because all you have to do is access it and know and retain, but wisdom requires you to use that knowledge. And even when you misuse the knowledge, you're gaining wisdom. You're understanding by the mistakes that you make, by the things that you get right. Some people are afraid to make mistakes, so they don't do, not out of laziness, but they don't use their knowledge out of fear of failure. So you have to get to the point where you understand you're human, you're going to make mistakes, but you need to start to use some of what you know, because your knowledge applied is wisdom. And I think that's one of the reasons why people don't seek wisdom out, because wisdom takes work.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anything worth having is going to take some work, isn't it?
Amen. This is Brett. I think verse 6 and 7 kind of sums it, the whole thing up, because it talks about the Lord grants the wisdom, and from his mouth came knowledge and understanding. But the most important part is, if Paul doesn't spoke without what it says in 7, but talks about common sense. We have a lot of people out here today that don't even know that in order to be wise, you have to know certain things. We have people generations that have not been in church, that knows nothing about how to gain wisdom. Only things that they know is what's out here in the street, what they learn in the schools, and I have found out recently that the schools aren't even teaching like they taught when I was in school. They've cut out a lot of the history stuff, and a lot of these kids don't know nothing about history or black history, or how we got here, or how we came to get our freedoms and stuff. They don't know about that. So how can you get knowledge if you don't understand where you come from? And a lot of people nowadays, a lot of these young people here in Indianapolis, a young team went into a service station this morning, asked for tacos, came back, shot the guy twice. His grandmother and them saw it on the news. They saw the film that they caught, and the family turned this boy in. But that comes from not having understanding, not knowledge. And the most important thing is common sense. Sometimes I think people just don't have common sense. Or like one lady told me one time, he said her son said that he doesn't have any common sense. And she said, why? He said, well, he got up and ran away from me this morning. Common sense is something that a lot of people have no understanding about.
Hey, you're right. I remember my grandmother saying if it was common, everybody would have it. So it must not be common. And you know, but how do we gain that knowledge? My grandmother would tell you that in a heartbeat. but you know, I think you're right. I think that, you know, some people haven't been to church. They don't know that. I also think that we now are in a society where we think that the only knowledge we need or wisdom we need is Google it or go to the internet. You know how many people tell you that? I saw it on the internet. It must be true. I'm like, really? You think that? I mean, we think that that's it. We think that the sources that we have around us gives us all the knowledge and wisdom that we need. And so we don't need to ask, because I absolutely believe with Brother Carver, nobody wants to work like that no more. We don't want to do that work.
We don't want to
invest that time in there.
This is James. I think much of our culture is moving away from people asking questions and seeking understanding. Many of my children are in education, and they were really upset. My daughter and son-in-law were, because they weren't teaching the children to question and think. Instead, they wanted them to pass proficiency tests.
Right.
And so kids weren't being taught to critically think. And I know Dr. Susie and I have been through CPE training for chaplaincy, where we ask questions about ourselves and why we think and why we do what we do. And I think even in the church, it's sort of discouraged in some cases where you do what I say, and all you're getting, get an understanding. So we have people sitting out there being told, you're not supposed to think, you're supposed to do what I tell you to do. And they have all these things in their minds, or at least some people do, these questions that they ought to be trying to seek an understanding about it. It's like our culture is focused on people not gaining an understanding. It's like we're being taught to be, like you talked about, looking at things on the internet. You know, you want to find something out, look up a fact. But the fact doesn't necessarily give you wisdom and understanding. You know, we have this, Satan is attacking our minds, and Satan is attacking us spiritually. And we need to really come to the understanding that we are in a battle for our minds and our spirits. But we just, it's like we go along like little, like, you know, following the Pied Piper or something. You know,
Like sheep to the slaughter.
Yeah, wait a minute. Why am I going this way? What does this mean if I continue on this path? But instead, it's like we just keep on going because that's the path we've been directed to follow. But this is an important concept, this concept of wisdom and gaining an understanding. Seeking God. And it's like fighting against culture and society in order to do that. I mean, even in our educational system. I mean, jobs, you're told what to do. I mean, and people that are reflective thinkers, that are creative thinkers, usually are silenced. But we ought to be asking questions why and gaining an understanding.
Amen. And this is from 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be careful, watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy, prowling around like a roaring lion, look for some victim to devour. So
Amen.
We are in a fight, Dr. Nook. We absolutely are in a fight, and we don't know, you know, we don't know what to use. We don't know how to put the armor on. We don't know what battle is about, because we're going along, and my version is like sheep to the slaughter. Just, you know, bye-bye, let's go. Take me out of here.
Amen. Amen.
And that armor, for those of you who know, Ephesians 6, 13, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after battle you will be standing firm, stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The shoes put on the peace that comes from good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In every battle you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And so when we talk about our churches and stuff, you know, just do what I'm told, we need to, when we leave there, we need to be going home, spending some time reading this Word ourselves, asking the Lord to give us guidance, understanding, so that we can interpret His Word for our lives, because, you know, they may tell you something that's not in the Bible. They may tell you some stuff that's not in the Word. They may tell you some stuff to get you to do it because they want you to do it. Dr. Susan.
I was listening to your statement just now, and the reality is there's so many people who don't even believe in carrying their Bibles anymore to church. More or less,
yeah.
Nonetheless, try to use them at home, but they don't even use them at church anymore. I was in a class, and I mentioned that I was trying to hear, well, where is the, they were talking about evangelism, and as I was listening to evangelism, they were talking about marketing. And I said, but where is God in the midst of this? And there was no wisdom seeking God in the midst of it. The wisdom was, how do we find a worldly method to handle something that is spiritual? You want to bring people to your church. You want to grow the church. You want to grow the people, but you don't want to seek the one who is responsible for the world. You don't want to seek the one who put the wind in the four corners of the earth. You don't want to seek the one who has all the answers, the Alpha and the Omega. You don't want to seek that one. You want to come up with a plan that is marketing plan based on what some man has said that, you know, is temporary based on the culture that they were interacting with, not the one that knows all of creation. So
isn't that then just another question? Isn't that the statement of the scripture that says they will endure unsound doctrine? So that's unsound doctrine.
Amen.
If you're not seeking, putting God and Jesus in the middle and to build on that and around that, then you just wasting time.
Well, then the question was asked to me, what do you want us to do, carry Bibles and hand out scripture? And I said,
that's not a bad idea.
That, well, actually, I was saying, how about having a relationship with people and teaching them to have a relationship with God? But, you know, you got to have one in order to be able to share it with somebody else. So.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. I know that I am adamant that I carry a Bible with me, and because when they're reading the scripture and start expounding on them, I want to make sure they got it right.
Yeah. And
well, when you don't see the word is relevant, though, that's the problem. is we no longer count God's word as the authority source, because man has elevated man's self to that which is equal to God, and God says, I'll have no other gods before me. So the moment you start doing that, you need to move over, because a lightning bolt may be in his show.
And so as Brother Carver said, you know, we're not putting in the work to search for the wisdom and to mine it, because we think we already have it. We think we already
know
that.
We think we are the wisdom. We think we are the wisdom.
but that's not true. And so when we then start to look at the rest of this chapter, I'm going to read 12 through 19. So wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose speech is corrupt. These people turn from right ways to walk down dark and evil paths. They rejoice in doing wrong, and they enjoy evil as it turns things upside down. What they do is crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from an immoral woman, from the flattery of the adulterous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to hell. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the path of life. So this, as I said in verses, you know, 1 through 11, this life that's perfect and complete and that has all the things that we say we want in life and God has promised us in life, is found in seeking wisdom and mining wisdom. And now it goes into saying that wisdom will save you from some things that are pretty common in our lives. Would we agree? I mean, things that,
yes,
that we as humans,
yes,
struggle with. And so it's saying that wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose speech is corrupt, because you will be able to discern that is not sound doctrine. That is not true. That is not right. I mean, I remember one time going. I was listening to a preacher, and I don't remember who it was, but R. Kelly had come out with that song, "Ain't Nothing Wrong with a Little Bump and Grind."
Oh God,
that's not sound doctrine. There is something wrong with that. If it's not done in the context that it should be done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have this culture that's bombarding us as Christians every day. Everything we hear, everything we see, a lot of stuff that we read, people that we talk to, the stuff that we hear, every day is just bombarding us and beating us down. And if we're not, I dare say, if we're not spending maybe not equal time, but some time, meaningful time in prayer and fasting and in reading the word and Bible study and talking to folks. You know, when you have issues and problems, finding somebody that is of like mind and saying, hey, I really need to talk to someone. It was while I lived in St. Louis that I began to understand the appreciation for small groups. Because until that, I was in large churches, and we just didn't do small groups. You did a Bible study, but you didn't do small groups. But I began to understand that, and so when I had issues or things that I needed to talk about, I could call them up and say, hey, you know, can you do coffee, or can we, you know, meet for lunch, and you know, let's talk about these things. And I think the other part of that seeking wisdom is seeking to talk to other folks who may have some perspective on that. But we don't want to let people know that we are infallible. We want everybody to think that we're in the church and we got it all going on.
My
we're
Lord.
Upright. we are it. When in fact, you know, the word says we're all filthy rags, we've all fallen short. We all have issues that we're dealing with, but yet we don't want to talk to anybody. And how dare we really get a new Christian and say, hey, I can understand, I can see you, I've been there, been through that. Let me tell you how I handle that. We look at them like, well, why are you doing that stuff? You shouldn't be doing that. You're in the church now. Well, we all didn't come to the church holy and sanctified. And some of us still not.
Yeah. If there's any place that people ought to be reaching out to people that make mistakes, it ought to be the church. I mean,
amen.
Christ did it, and we ought to be following the example of Christ. Who was Christ associated with? I mean, associated with the people of the street, the wine drinkers, the troublemakers, you know. And yet, we feel like these people are too dirty to come into church. But all we have to do is look in the mirror, and that they're us.
Absolutely.
But we'll sit up and act like nobody. You're not. How dare you come in this church? You're homeless. You lost your job. You stink. You've been drinking. You're on drugs. How dare you come in here? This is purified country. You know, no, it's not. We're just a bunch of liars.
Okay. Amen.
And these are the people that we ought to be reaching out to.
There was a story about a pastor. Yes, there was a story about a pastor who had started his tenure at a new church, and he had dressed up as a bum, and you could tell he went some time to get that beard to grow because it was very authentic looking. And he had on the gear, he had on the clothing, he had the smell. He had it all, and he did do this in awareness with the elders and deacons, but the rest of the church didn't. It was a church of about, I think he said it was about 8,000 to 9,000. And he went in the church and he tried to sit down front, and the ushers made everybody go to the back, and people came in and they were trying to push him away and get him out of the way. And finally, when they said, "Well, we'd like to introduce our new pastor." And then he starts headed towards the front of the church. Oh. And then he starts to talk about how people treated him. And he went inside of the scriptures, "If this is what you do to the least of these, you've done it also unto me." And people started to cry at the way that they had treated him. And, you know, we forget that it is the least of these. It is the poor. It is the homeless. A guy came to me today asking me for some money, and I thought, you know, this is a guy who's come to church 2 or 3 times, and he didn't have to come. And I told him I wouldn't give him cash, but I'd take him to get what he needed, or I'd get what he needed and bring it back. And, you know, I thought, well, what if he's trying to run a con game? And I said, you know what? This money that he's asking for, I've lost before. Why can't I just trust God to do a work in this person's life? And then they may see that this is a gift, a blessing from God. So I did it, and the satisfaction of knowing that I gave to help somebody. Well, guess what? He came back to church and continues and said, and he tells the story, you know, "I know Dr. Susan didn't trust me, but I'm so glad she helped me out because God came through for me. And I know it wasn't just her. It was God working through that." So, you know, it can't be wisdom.
You know what's so important about that is you just did what God said to do in the Word. It says if your brother comes to you and has a need, right, and you have it, to give it to him if he asks, right? And now I was on the other end of something like that maybe 15, 16 years ago where I had all my kids coming to church. They were real little, and I'd be carrying some of them, and it would rip my suits and stuff, right? And so I had people at church, and you know how church people are. They'd be talking about you when your stuff isn't quite right. And this one deacon came up to me one day and put this wad of cash in my hand, and about $500. And he said, "Go get yourself some suits." Now, that's what the Word of God tells us to do, not go talking about each other behind your backs, right? But it was a lesson to me, because when God positioned me to be in that other deacon's position, I was able to do that because of that example.
Amen.
Amen. And there's wisdom.
Amen.
There's wisdom in that, and having those relationships and interactions and speaking to that. And so, you know, what 12 through 19 says is that wisdom will keep us from all the, that stuff that we should not be doing and help us to keep continue to do that stuff that we need to do. And we need to draw, I mean, we need to draw this part out as, for me, is that wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose speech is corrupt. They turn away and walk down the dark and evil path. They rejoice in doing wrong. They enjoy evil because it turns everything upside down and it's in chaos. And what they do is crooked and their ways are wrong. It flat out, it's wrong. And then it tells us that it will keep us from an immoral woman, an adulterous woman, a seductive woman, and that those that go to the house flee to death.
Yeah, yes. I wanted to say
Let's talk about
this
that. Why do they use all women?
this is James.
What was that?
This is Solomon talking to his sons. So we should
use a woman.
We should not ever think that they're not immoral men.
Absolutely, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Yeah, so that means that's why.
Come on, Sean, speak up.
It was the father talking to his son, Dr. Susie, so he wasn't going to say immoral men.
I hear you. Come on, Sean, let's have a discussion.
And Dr. Nooks is right. There are immoral men out there as well.
All right.
Don't get her started.
But this is what I'm going to tell everybody, and I tell my wife this all the time. I tell her this all the time. I've done enough wrong in my life. The one thing I don't want to ever have to answer for is being unfaithful to my wife. And that's part of the scripture that reminds me of that. I sometimes you just have to draw the line, and that's where I drew the line and said, no. And I'm going to tell everybody that. I said, But it leads to doom. It leads to doom, and he never will reach the path of life. Now, which life is this scripture talking about? Is it talking about the life he's living now or the life to come? John, what do you think? You out there? It says, this man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the path of life.
He's on mute.
Is John, you on mute?
Anybody else?
Okay. Anybody else? I mean, that's a legitimate question. He will never reach the path of life.
Yeah, Solomon is trying to warn his sons what they should be doing and, you know, how they should gain wisdom and what they should do as wise people. So, I mean, are you asking the question, is this something that he's trying to give his sons, trying to teach them something? That's what this
is. I thought he was trying to be the pot calling
Kettle Black. About all of the above? I'm going to take all of the above on that one.
Solomon wasn't a good person to be talking about stuff like that.
No, Solomon was a king, and he had his own wives. And he had,
he had wives
and
concubines and friends and girlfriends and everybody else.
It would be interesting to see when Solomon wrote this. Solomon, he probably wrote this when he was really young, because when he became old, I mean, all the stuff he's talking about here, he did.
Isn't
about the biggest hypocrite the world's ever known.
Wait a minute, isn't that where the phrase came from? There ain't no fool like an old fool.
Yeah.
How he gained understanding, though, through that experience, through that wisdom?
Man.
No, seriously. Because knowledge comes from study. Wisdom comes from applying that knowledge consistently. And then understanding comes from applying wisdom consistently, because you understand why to do, why not to do, et cetera. But yeah, Solomon had some understanding that came
let me read for you how Solomon got his understanding. You can find this in 1 Kings, starting, I'm going to start at verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the instructions of his father David, except that Solomon, too, offered sacrifice and burnt incense at the local altar. The most important of these altars was at Gibeon. So the king went there to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You were wonderfully kind to my father David because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you continued this great kindness to him today by giving him a son to succeed him. O Lord my God, now you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am among your own chosen people, a nation so great that they are too numerous to count. Give me an understanding mind so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great nation of yours?" The Lord was pleased with Solomon's reply and was glad that he had spoken, that he had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people and have not asked for long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding mind such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and honor. Nor the king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. For if you follow me and obey my commandments as your father David did, I will give you long life." Solomon asked for an understanding heart and wisdom.
That's awesome.
He asked for that.
And do you know that's a great – isn't that a great example of where it says that when you delight in the word of the Lord, that he gives you the desires of your heart? Do you not think that desire came from God to ask for wisdom and understanding?
Brother Carver, that's another for real question. Anybody else want to take a stab at that before I throw my little 2 cents in there?
Restate the question again.
Those who delight in the word of the Lord, God will give them the desires of their heart. Don't you think that God gave Solomon that desire to ask for wisdom and understanding to lead his people?
Anybody out there
not
on
music want
to answer
that?
God
gave Solomon
the desire
planted in
Solomon's
heart
to ask for wisdom and knowledge.
This is Dr. Susie. I think one of the things that Solomon's known for, you know, David was known as a man after God's own heart, and he saw that peace, that relationship with God and David. David was also the same man who said, I think I haven't mixed it up, that said, "How can I give God something that costs me nothing?" Solomon has learned from watching the relationship with his father and God that if you don't get nothing else right, the relationship with God is superb, is supreme. It is the thing that you ask for. It is what is wisdom is God, the relationship with God. If you don't have the relationship with God, if you don't have that, if you don't understand that God is wisdom, is connected to that, then you're really missing it. And I think that's what he learned out of the relationship of growth and family and the struggles of family is that importance. And I think that if you want to say in his heart, that was planted in his heart in a variety of ways.
This is Eric. I would agree, and the reason I say that is that God asked him, "Okay, what do you want?" You're sacrificing, you're doing this, you're doing that. What do you want? And God let him tell him what he wanted. And he told him that he wanted wisdom. I think Solomon understood the vast power of God and how insignificant he was and what he was being charged to do, because he was being put in charge of God's chosen people to guide and direct them, to lead them. And how much better would we be if our preachers and pastors of churches looked at their congregations like that?
All right. Amen. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. So, I mean, when we seek God, then I think we start to act like what God would have us to act like. So, I mean,
Amen. Amen, Dr.
What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if we seek to be God-like or move toward God and seek God? Then our desires are going to be different. To what Lester is saying, what we ask for is going to be different. What we seek is going to be different, and it would be along the lines of this wisdom that we seek. So a person that's drawing close to God and God is drawing close to them is not going to ask for the same thing that somebody that is far from God would ask for. So I think, Lester, your concern or your question, I think there's a lot of merit to what you're saying there.
Amen. So let me we've only got a couple minutes, so 20 through 22, follow the steps of good men instead, and stay on the path of righteousness, for only the upright will live in the land, and those who have integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be destroyed. So in my conclusion, there again, hit this wisdom that we're seeking, I still submit that it's providing an overall quality of life, a good life, life in whole. And we should seek to mine that wisdom and understand it and do the work, because it will benefit us in the long run. And with that, Dr. Smith, I'll turn it back over to you for the last couple of minutes.
All right, then. Well, we are so excited. This has been an awesome lesson. And we're just asking that if those of you could go around and share one thing that you gained from the lesson tonight as we talk about wisdom, those of you who are willing to share, I appreciate that, and offer up a prayer, concern, or a praise request. Dr. Nelson, we'll start.
Yeah, this is Eric. Quickly, that wisdom will protect our life, that wisdom will give us a quality of life. My prayer concerns is for my sister-in-law, her health, and my in-laws and their health.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nitz.
That we need to seek wisdom, that it needs to be considered valuable to us, and that in so doing, it will transform our lives.
Brother Lester.
Lester here. The example of King David is an example of one who sought wisdom and understanding. That was left to his son as a legacy. That was something I really gleaned tonight. And then, what is it? My praise report was I had a court case that turned out really well. And then also prayer requests, just pray for my health. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Brother Brett.
Yes. Continue to pray for me and my cousin in Louisville. She's getting somewhat better, but I'm just asking for prayer all the way around.
Amen.
I was just going to say the wisdom and I thank God for is that he's always with us no matter what, through thick and thin, good or bad, whatever. That's, you know, and understanding that is a blessing. Even when you feel alone, you're not alone. And my prayer request is that God would give me faith. Well, the blessing is he's provided me a place to stay, which is tremendous blessing. But also my prayer request is that he would bless me, you know, with the finances to be self-sufficient and sustaining the life that he would intend for me to live.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else want to respond tonight? Lobo, Reverend Diggs, anybody else? If not, Brother Mark, we'll go forward.
My praise report is the doctor. I think I told our group about how the doctors thought I had a tumor and that that tumor might be malignant on my pancreas. And they've done several sets of tests and took samples of the area where they thought the tumor was. And they've even said it's reactive, but they concluded so far in the first set of tests that that tumor is, or that area is benign. And so I'm thankful to God for so
Amen.
Many reasons that
Amen.
That for whatever reason, and I just call it Jesus because that's the report that I believe, that that area is benign and God continues to show his work. You know, my prayer is for all those in the line seeking seeking direction, seeking God's grace, seeking contracts, seeking employment, and that God show us tonight, today, this hour, how great he is.
Amen. Brother Lester, could you close us in prayer, lifting up our president, our country as we're preparing for election, those who are out in our community that are homeless, those who don't have food on their tables or money to pay their bills, those people who are needing the Lord's wisdom and the direction to go, our families who are on drugs and know that they need another way to go but can't figure it out and they need the wisdom of the Lord to give them direction. If you could lift up prayer tonight as we close, it'd be much appreciated.
Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for President of the United States. I thank you for his family. I thank you for his cabinet and his vice president and their families. God, I thank you for you just allowing this country to benefit greatly from the hard work and leadership. I thank you for his security detail and all those around. Father, I thank you for each and every family, God. Each and every person right now, I thank you for those who are without food, for you continuing to provide for them, to provide shelter for those with no shelter and those with no clothes, God. Father, I thank you for your continued hedge of protection around all of those that you've called to be in your presence. I thank you for the people on the line tonight and for you just blessing them, strengthening them, keep them, guide them, and lead them into your presence and let them know that you are their sufficiency, God. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.